Health Department's been a frequent guest lately, but for good reason. I wanted to ask you a little bit about kind of contact tracing and how that all works and sort of like where we are as a community right now. I guess, has there been some resistance to people participating in contact tracing?
Yeah, we've experienced some hesitancy on the part of some individuals, either if they're positives or if they're close contacts of positives, and working with us to provide information having to do with the contact tracing itself.
So that would be somebody that's confirmed positive, and then they are hesitant to talk about who they were in contact with?
Yeah, some areas like that. And we kind of just wanted to come on and talk about it a little bit more to reinforce why it's important. And we know it feels very invasive and it feels like, you know, we're really getting in your business, but we're truly doing it to make every effort to control the spread of the virus in the community. So it's important.
Well, what would you ask somebody if they were positive?
If they're positive, we're going to ask them who their close contacts are. And it's, you know, and this is one of those things that it's really important to start thinking about if you're going to get tested, and, you know, just so you have a decent idea ahead of time. But we're going to say, you know, who are your close contacts? And by definition, a close contact is someone who was within 6 feet of you for 15 minutes or longer. So, you know, people who you work with, maybe family, friends you hang out with. And that's one of the big areas we see hesitation, is people not wanting to let go of names of families and friends. And we understand that you want to keep your private life private, and you don't want to put anyone else out there having to deal with the fact that you may be positive. One, we don't ever pass on your name or your information to anybody. But the other scenario is by letting us know, we hopefully then can reach out to those individuals and make sure that if they start to feel symptomatic or they want to get tested, they get tested. And then they're also doing the appropriate quarantine just in case to keep from spreading the disease.
If I'm being tested or think I might be positive, and I'm thinking kind of back to where I've been or I've been in contact with, like you said, would I even start to think, well, I was hanging out at such and such restaurant the other night? So, I mean, do you need to think of it that way, or is it just people that you've spent a lot of time with?
I would say it's not a lot of time. I mean, you know, we talk 15 minutes within 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most likely your server at your restaurant may not be a contact. At the same time, if you know that server or that server and you have an extended conversation, it could be. Mm-hmm. So you just need to think about it that way. Or if you go to the bar and you stand there and you talk to the bartender for 10, 15 minutes, you do have a greater likelihood of that. And, you know, we start with looking at 48 hours before you became symptomatic. So it's not just from the moment you got a test. It's, you know, if I developed symptoms on Monday but didn't get tested till Wednesday, well, I need to really start thinking about who did I see on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday up to the time you were, you know, isolating.
Yeah. And they're also starting to talk a little bit more about how symptomatic you were. So if I had a cough or I was sneezing a lot, it may not be 15 minutes. You may actually contract it in a little bit shorter period of time, right? Because if I'm not masked, then you have that aerosolization of the virus. It's out there. So it's really thinking, too, about, you know, kind of what your habits and behaviors are. And we're not looking to, you know, scold people or make them feel ridiculed. It's just, we're just doing our best to try to help everybody else through it.
I wasn't going to ask you guys about this quite yet, but I guess I will since it kind of segues. Isn't there, it just came out yesterday from the Department of Public Health that there's a new guidance, I guess, about restaurants now. Can you kind of explain how that works, I guess?
They've been talking about this for a little bit, but I think he came out a little stronger on it yesterday in a press release or a conference, I guess. What they're looking at truly is protecting the workers in their environment that they're working, so servers and bartenders and wait staff. And what it is it's requiring the patron to mask when they come to the table to serve them or when the bartender comes over, in an effort to really protect them from the patrons and what they're seeing. Because right now you'll see the servers and they wear them all the time they're working. You go through the drive-thru, they have the masks on. So they're looking for that other side of protection. It's difficult though, right? Because I mean, everybody says, well, how do I eat with a mask on? That's what we hear, right? Well, it's...
And I think the thing to think about here is, you know, the server wearing a mask helps to protect you. Mm-hmm. When you put your mask on, you're helping to protect that server or someone else. Whether you're a fan of masking or not, whether or not you find it's going to be difficult to do that or not, it's really about trying to look out for someone else and not just yourself. And I know that that sounds kind of cliche right now because that's what we always talk about with masking, but that's really what masking is. Masking is about trying to protect other people. In a service scenario, I'm going to acknowledge there's times it's going to be difficult. I'm sure there's going to be times that servers are going to feel horrible, like they're bothering you because now you have to put a mask up over your face when they come and ask you if you'd like some more to drink or like that. But at the same time, you know, it's a service industry. They're out there taking care of you and waiting on you and serving you. The least you can do is something to try to protect them a little bit.
I think in some of your the health department's releases in the last few weeks, or at least in the last week or so, you've mentioned that there's been more outbreaks of workplaces because people have gone in to work sick when they perhaps obviously should not have. How can you kind of prevent that, I guess, or you just plead for people to follow your guidance, I guess, or how often is that happening?
We're seeing it more and more frequently. And, you know, from a standpoint, it's understandable, right? From a human behavior standpoint, people need their income. Businesses need people to come to work. But in this scenario that we're living in right now, and the status that we're in right now, it's by going to work when you may have the COVID-19 virus, you're potentially exposing it to your workplace. And if your workplace is not following masking guidelines or some of the other things, then there's even higher potential of that spread inside the workplace. So, again, it's another challenging thing to talk about and even more challenging to implement, but it's important.
And have you guys made some effort to work with businesses or communicate with businesses as far as how they should be working with employees?
So one of the new things we have going on is us and the Chamber, the Health Department and the Chamber of Commerce are working together with a Thursday morning conference call that any local business can call into. If you go to the Chamber's Facebook page, you can find all the information on that where they can ask the Health Department questions about things they should or shouldn't be doing in their businesses or things they have questions about concerning COVID. Last week was our first week of it. Tomorrow morning will be our second one. There's a form you can fill out and even submit questions directly to the Chamber so that if you aren't comfortable asking it yourself on the call, it can get asked on your behalf, and then it would be done anonymously. So there are some initiatives out there that way. And then, you know, we get a lot of calls even just daily talking to businesses about what they should or shouldn't do. And it's very much a huge societal and mental change for us because most of us have, you know, gone to work over the years not feeling the greatest because why? That's what we do. And it's really that sniffing, runny nose scenario of, oh, I don't stay home over just something little like that. Well, now we're telling people you really should stay home. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it may be your allergies, but it could also be COVID. And it's just take those extra precautions. And then we talk a lot to businesses about doing their best to try to be flexible with employees about that. We understand a business needs to be able to operate and run. At the same time, if you have a large outbreak in your business, you're not going to be able to operate and run either.
Right.
And it's how those outbreaks contribute to the spread in the community, too. So if you have an outbreak in a business, understand they all go home to their families, and then their families go to whomever they're going to spread it to. And then the effort overall is to, well, there's a couple of things. One, you want to protect your vulnerable population. So, you know, you figure nursing home workers go home every day to their families. They have to, and then go back to work. So you want to protect them so that in return you're protecting the elderly that are in the nursing homes. The same with healthcare. We have wonderful healthcare workers that have worked throughout this, but they have to go to the grocery store as well. You know, they have to have a social life. They need some kind of outlet after they go to work, protecting us. Mm-hmm. And it's about protecting those kinds of resources so that they're there when we need them, but at the same time balancing, you know, and letting those businesses operate.
Could you talk a little bit about how you guys communicate to the public if there is an outbreak? For example, a few weeks ago, I know some people, like the governor mentioned, there's an outbreak with the Knox County softball team, and mm-hmm. that's not something the health department had brought up, and everyone was kind of, well, maybe they should, you know, or somewhat outraged. But I don't know. Can you kind of defend yourself, if you will?
That's a decision that's really made on a case-by-case basis as mm-hmm. we're moving forward, because our interest is always to protect the privacy
right.
of individuals or businesses, or we don't want anything negative to happen to a business because, you know, somehow they've had an outbreak, because generally by the time we're addressing an outbreak, they've remedied it and people are safe to go there after that.
Mm.
we would release a name like that if we, for some reason, felt like we couldn't connect with everybody who may have been exposed. We haven't really had that instance yet in the community. We've been able to work with the business and get all the close contacts, and we've been fortunate. We've started releasing, like, generalities, I guess, for lack of a better word, of we're seeing it in businesses or long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you'll see the business itself will actually just come out and say it. I think Carl Sandburg put something out the other day, which, and then I seen it in the news, which we knew about it. But normally we would just generally say, okay, we're seeing it at schools and universities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the key goes back to that's why that contact tracing is important. You know, when we have individuals who are working with us and we're able to reach out and we're able to get to all the contacts, the fact that a small business or somewhere else may have had an outbreak of some sort isn't a huge area for the public to be concerned about because it's been addressed, it's under control. Mm-hmm. If we had a scenario where we didn't feel that was happening, as Michelle was talking about, we would have no problem going out to the public and saying, okay, we need to know anyone and everyone who was at this place or at this place. The softball team that was brought up, you know, that the coaches and everybody on that team worked with us closely, very closely. They had no problem relaying information to us. They had been out of state of the tournament. We were actually talking to the other state about what was going on at their tournament. So we were very comfortable and confident in that scenario that we had reached everyone who had any involvement with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And before we kind of wrap up, I guess I'll ask you guys to somewhat interpret the situation of COVID in Knox County right now. I know some people are a little alarmed because the number of cases goes up every week up until, I guess, this last week it went down a little. But it seems to basically be under control as far as hospitalizations. Kind of how do you guys describe it? If you could.
We've been in good standing with our hospitalizations, and I think we are really as a region. The hospitals are operating pretty well and our numbers are really good. Cases, we're seeing cases go up, you know, around the region and more outbreaks around the region. And I would encourage people, too, to keep an eye on the surrounding areas, too, right? There's no magic little barrier that goes up at Warren County or, you know, Henry County that says, hey, no COVID crosses this line. So we are seeing a little bit more activity, and I think we're seeing the governor and IDPH respond to that, too. And I think another area came up yesterday that came under more concern. So it's, you know, if that happens where we're seeing where it's brought to our attention that we're going to creep into those higher risk areas and we're going to turn into a high risk area, what they'll do is contact us and talk to us about what we're seeing in our area, and then they will come out and, as we've seen in the other regions, they could potentially impose some additional restrictions on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what came out yesterday up in the Chicago suburb area of that region, they're eliminating indoor dining altogether for a period of time. You know, we don't want to see that happen in our region. And as Michelle talked, I do think we've had overall very good working with our hospital, our hospitalization rates. She is right, you know, on the case numbers going up. And I think that's where everybody just needs to, as I like to say, be smart. That doesn't mean you can't have a life, doesn't mean you can't have socialization with other people, but be wise about what you're doing. You know, practice social distancing, practice masking when you need to mask, and be smart about it, because if our numbers do get up there, it's not going to be the Knox County Health Department who makes the decision that, oh, we have to do this. It's going to be the state of Illinois dictating what we have to do.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah. People could just, you know, and if people wanted to know generally, you know, everybody just needs to come together and act like Will said, act, you know, come back towards the middle and just do the best you can every day and make good choices so that we can keep our businesses open, so that we can keep the kids in school that are in school, or they can keep doing their extracurricular activities. So
All right. That's
the best way to keep the community up and moving, is to just make individual smart choices.
Mm. Very good. Well, Michelle Gabriel and Will Hayes, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.